What's behind our widening trade gap? From Marketplace in Washington, I'm Kimberly Adams in for David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. The Commerce Department released November trade numbers today. This morning's initial estimate shows the U.S. exported $1.2 billion less in goods than it did in October. In the same period, imports rose by almost double that, widening our trade deficit by 5.5%. This number doesn't include exports or imports of services, just products. To get more context on the trade numbers, I'm joined this morning by Diane Swonk, CEO of DS Economics in Chicago. Good morning.
Good morning.
Now, the trade gap, the numbers that we saw this morning show that the trade gap is widening. Why is that?
Well, we saw both exports fall and imports increase. One of the main reasons was we'd had a surge in soybean exports over the summer. It was a bit of a fluke, and it's one of the reasons we saw the actual GDP figures pushed above that 3% threshold and had such a good, quote-unquote, third quarter. It was this anomaly in soybean exports, which are now coming down. So as we sit here today, we're now seeing that those soybean exports, which we shipped to China over the summer, are now coming off, and that's pushing the trade deficit in the other direction, making it much worse.
Donald Trump is getting ready to be inaugurated. What is he going to see when he steps into office?
Well, I think you're going to see a worsening situation, and that's going to be very hard, and it's very difficult to stop that momentum short of anything that resembles a trade war. The concern is if we raise tariffs, of course, other countries will retaliate, and that will mean even bigger problems for our manufacturers. So there's no easy solution, even though you'd like to sort of just have it stop.
Diane Swonk is CEO of DS Economics in Chicago. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And we also have new jobless numbers this morning. The Labor Department says the weekly count of people filing for unemployment insurance for the first time fell by 10,000. Legislatures in 9 states still haven't complied with the Real ID Act of 2005. That's the Department of Homeland Security's standard for driver's licenses. The act requires things like digital photographs and features to prevent counterfeiting. Now the states still dragging their feet only have about a year to fix things, or their residents may have to show a passport to get on a plane. Marketplace's Andy Eula reports.
John Judy lives in Missouri, one of the states with IDs that are out of compliance. He and his family just got passports because he was worried.
We travel about once or twice a year just around the country. Got family out in the West Coast and some friends out east, so got to make sure that we can still fly sometimes.
Jeremy Kalin is a small business owner in Minneapolis who flies about 50,000 miles a year. He also served in the Minnesota legislature and remembers having debates about Real ID years ago. He says the pervasive tone was,
let's wait and see and figure out a little bit more from the Department of Homeland Security of what they're really talking about before we dive in as a state.
Now legislators can't wait, and he says they need to think about what being out of compliance could mean for their state's residents.
The impact on, you know, folks who are working poor, who are English second language, who are newer immigrants is going to be really serious.
Standard passports cost $110. I'm Andy Euler for Marketplace.
Now, if politics is really about apportioning resources, that is to say, who gets the money, there's a lot of change coming this next year. Help us explain, explore, and elucidate these stories as only my crew here at Marketplace can. I'm here to ask you to consider making a tax-deductible gift to Marketplace today. Help us keep it coming to you. It would be especially helpful to us if you donate at Marketplace.org by December 31st.
When's the last time you laminated something? Been a while? You wouldn't be the only one. The shift towards digital documents has had a domino effect. Laminators, binders, and similar items to manage paper in the office are becoming less common. Sales of binding and laminating machines have been slowly declining for years, and analysts expect that to continue. Marketplace's Lewis Wallace took a look at the office and office supply store of the future.
Confession first, I really love lamination. The sound, the weird smell, the whole idea of preserving a piece of paper in plastic just really gets me going. But I might be alone in my generation.
I don't think I've seen a laminator since I volunteered at a library in my hometown.
This is Alex Wall, head of PR at a startup called Jukely.
Sort of like a Netflix for live music.
We're poking around here because it's your typical new office. High ceilings, sleek computers, standing desks. There's a sad little printer in the corner that no one ever uses, and no paper anywhere. Jukely does have an awesome record player, and Alex points to a Keurig, one of those coffee machines with the pods.
This is the piece of office equipment that gets the most attention.
Michelle Havenitz, who's an analyst at IBIS World, says for any consumer product,
there are four life cycle stages: introduction, growth, maturity, decline.
Maturity is when pretty much everyone is familiar with the product and sales level off. Think computer keyboards or phones. Decline is usually signaled by consolidation, a lack of innovation. For paper preservation products like laminators,
demand has been consistently falling.
No, tragically, this isn't the sound of a laminating machine. It's a helium machine at the back of a tiny, crowded office supply store in Brooklyn. The manager, Wynn Comain, is blowing up balloons. He says these days, 7th Avenue Office Supply sells less paper, more toys and decorations.
It's changed from office supply to be more like a party supply now.
The store does do a lot of copy services, but this is a hyper-local model.
Either you go very, very, very local, or you cannot survive.
The store has one tiny laminator tucked in the back for this whole dense neighborhood. So laminators probably aren't totally going away, but they may go the path of the record player. Cool, but rare. I'm Lewis Wallace for Marketplace.
And Japan's Nikkei closed down today more than 250 points, about 1.3%. Ripple effects from Wednesday's drop in U.S. markets and continuing concerns about the Toshiba Corporation's nuclear arm. Toshiba shares plummeted 17% today in Tokyo. In Washington, I'm Kimberly Adams with the Marketplace Midday Update. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.